follow the Psalms of Ascent. This morning, Christine mentioned that the Psalms of Ascent run through to 136. In actual fact, strictly speaking, the Psalms of Ascent run through to 134, and this 135 and 136, I've tagged on the end because I do think they link back with the Psalms of Ascent, but strictly they're not actual Psalms of Ascent. And as we did with the previous Psalms, we will have the Psalm 135 and 136 read to us, but you will need your Bibles because is it coming up on the, yeah, you've got it. Okay, so you'll be able to see it. But it would be helpful if you did have Bibles, so please feel free to get up and get them. If you haven't got them, there are some at the back. We're going to have different people reading them, and they're going to read them in sections this time so that we can get a feel for how this psalm is structured, because I think the structuring of the psalm will help us understand the message of it. Psalm 136 is a responsive psalm, so we're going to read it. It's going to be read to us in sections, but then we as a congregation are going to respond with the responsive part of that psalm. If you don't know what I'm talking about now, hopefully it will become clear as we go through. Father God, as we open up these psalms together, speak, we pray, through those that are going to read them, through the words that you have written, and through my words, Lord, we pray that by the power of your Spirit, each and every word would achieve what you have intended it for. So help us now, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask Derek, Rachel and Daniel to come forward, the three of you together, if you would each take the mic as it comes to your part of the psalm. Just want to say a thanks to all of you who have read as part of this series. It's much appreciated. It's been helpful in enabling us to hear different voices as part of God's word. I'll hand it over to you. Hopefully you'll all know where you're going with it.
We shall find out.
We'll find out. Thank you, Darren.
So we begin with Psalm 135. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, you servants of the Lord, you who minister in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Sing praise to his name, for that's pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob to be his own, and Israel to be his treasured possession.
I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than all gods. The Lord does whatever pleases him, in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all their depths. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses.
He struck down the firstborn of Egypt, the firstborn of men and animals. He sent his signs and wonders into your midst, O Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his servants. He struck down many nations and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kings of Canaan. And he gave their land as an inheritance to his people Israel.
Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, through all generations. For the Lord would vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, made by the hands of men. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but they cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, nor is there breath in their mouths. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who will trust in them.
O house of Israel, praise the Lord. O house of Aaron, praise the Lord. O house of Levi, praise the Lord. praise the Lord. You who fear him, praise the Lord. Praise be to the Lord from Zion, to him who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, guys. I'm going to speak about this psalm, and then you can come back for doing Psalm 136. So, fantastic. Thank you very much. For those of you taking notes, this first point is headed The Basics of Praise. There are just two points. This is such a wonderful psalm that we could spend ages looking at it. But I'm going to try and simplify it by focusing on the message of each of the different sections we've just read. The structure of this psalm can be thought of like a W, with the first section being the downstroke, the second section being the upstroke, the third section, which Daniel read, being the pinnacle, that centerpiece, the fourth section being the mirroring the second and being that downstroke again, and the fifth section mirroring the first section and being the upstroke. So you've got a kind of first section, second section, third section, fourth section and fifth section. So that's kind of it. And the sections mirror each other. So the first and the fifth, the second and the fourth, and the third is that pinnacle in the middle of the psalm. The first and the fifth section provide us with an exhortation to praise the Lord. And this is the fundamental message of this psalm. In actual fact, of this whole section, this whole season that we've looked at, this whole series, is about praising the Lord. And in that first section, there is an exhortation to praise the Lord. And then, as we heard from Derek at the end, the psalmist says, praise the Lord, Israel. Praise the Lord, Levi. Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, let's praise the Lord. That's the message of the psalm. Section 2 and its mirror in section 4 speak about the greatness of the Lord. And it speaks about the Lord being great. And about how they've made idols, and the idols don't compare. It talks about God being greater than all the other gods. And it's saying, you go to idols, and they can do nothing for you, yet God is the greatest. And so this second and fourth section give an understanding of the greatness of God. And then in the center of the psalm, the pinnacle of the psalm, it speaks of Israel's exodus from Egypt and their entry into the promised land where they are to receive their inheritance. And this speaks of the Passover. It pictures of salvation of the Lord. So we have this central bit speaks of salvation. The people of Israel are reminded to look back to their history, to when they came out of Egypt. And they were released from slavery and they entered into the promised land. It took them a little while to do that, but this is what the psalm looks at. And if we're going to oversimplify this psalm, there is the basics of praise in those three or five sections. The first part is we praise the Lord because we should. We praise the Lord because he's great. And we're created beings, and he is the creator of all things. And we've seen this throughout all of the Psalms, is that we praise God because he is God. And that's a good enough reason to praise God. That there need be no other reason than he is God to praise him. And so that's the basics of praise, is we praise the Lord because we should. But we go on further to that in the second and fourth sections. We praise God because of his greatness. He is so much other than us. Anything that we do or create, though we have been given the ability to create because we are made in the image of the Creator, anything we create is only going to be a shadow of the greatness of our Creator. And therefore, because of his greatness, we praise the Lord. And so we praise the Lord because we should, and we praise the Lord because of his greatness. And then we get to the pinnacle of this psalm, and we praise the Lord because of his salvation. because he saved us, because he rescued us. And we recall the stories of our history and how we came to salvation. We recall that story of the Exodus, how God brought his people by miraculous means out of the land of their slavery and into the promised land. And we have followed the same journey. We have been brought out of the slavery to sin and brought into new life in Christ Jesus. We have an inheritance with the saints, a wonderful inheritance that we have received and will receive in the fullness of time. And that should be the pinnacle of our praise. So as we gather together, we praise God because we should. We praise God because of his greatness, and then we praise God because we have received salvation. It is great reason to praise God. And when we gather on a Sunday morning for worship, we should be coming together and, like this psalm, pick up pieces of God's great story, borrowing bits from the Bible to make a marvelous mosaic that reflects the richness of God's greatness and the splendor of his salvation in a panoply of praise. This should be what we should do. This is wonderful stuff. This psalm is a psalm of recycling. It recycles story and story after story of what God has done. And we should be doing that in our Sunday services. We should be bringing together, recycling all that God has done through his word and through our lives, and bring them to remind ourselves and to tell each other, God is great. God is good. He saved us. If we could get back to these basics, glum faces would be gone. Boredom would be banished. Our lives would be transformed, and our lives would be lived to the glory of God. That's the basic of praise. If we could remember that we should be praising God, because we just should. We should be praising God because of his greatness, and we should be praising God because of what he's done in saving us. We come to Psalm 136, and if our readers could return, that would be great. Now, in Psalm 136, it is a responsive psalm. So we're going to stand. These guys are going to read the first bit, and the response is simply, his love endures forever. So when our readers read and then they pause, if when they pause, we respond with his love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of Lords.
His love endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders,
his love endures forever.
Who by his understanding made the heavens,
his love endures forever.
Who spread out the earth upon the waters,
his love endures forever.
Who made the great lights,
His love endures forever.
The sun to govern the day.
His love endures forever.
The moon and stars to govern the night.
His love endures forever.
To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt,
His love endures forever.
And brought Israel out from among them,
His love endures forever.
With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm,
his love endures forever.
To him who divided the Red Sea asunder,
his love endures forever.
And brought Israel through the midst of it,
his love endures forever.
But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea,
his love endures forever.
To him who led his people through the desert,
his love endures forever.
Who struck down great kings,
his love endures forever.
And kills mighty kings,
his love endures forever.
Sihon, king of the Amorites,
His love endures forever.
And Og, king of Bashan,
his love endures forever.
And gave their land as an inheritance.
His love endures forever.
An inheritance to his servant Israel.
His love endures forever.
To the one who remembered us in our low estate,
his love endures forever,
and freed us from our enemies.
His love endures forever,
and who gives food to every creature.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven.
His love endures forever.
Thank you, guys. Our second point, in similar style to the first, is entitled The Backdrop of Praise. As you'll have seen, the structure of this psalm, and even some of the verses, when I gave it to Daniel, he said, this is the same reading as the last psalm. And it exactly is. And so the psalm, the structure, mirrors the structure of Psalm 136, and even the pinnacle bit. Is exactly mirroring the same, because it's the same in Psalm 135 and 136, except it has this phrase, his love endures forever, interspersed with it. We're not going to revisit that. So what does this psalm add to what we've already learnt in Psalm 135? It's so obvious that we might miss it. Rushing over the rhythmic response, his love endures forever. As we read how he kills people, and then we say, his love endures forever. I don't know about you, but for me, that's like kind of feels like it doesn't fit. And yet it talks about him bringing people into the promised land, into their inheritance, and then we say his love endures forever, and it's nice to say that when we see that victory is won, we see God's work done, and we say his love endures forever. That certainly seems to be his love enduring forever, certainly to the people of Israel. And yet when you see people destroyed and killed, that doesn't seem to, it seems out of kilter. The message of this psalm is that God's love goes on and on and on and on through every season of life. Through everything that happens in this world, God's love endures forever. God's love is indestructible. It is a committed covenant love. It's not, I love you today, but I don't love you tomorrow because I don't feel like it. God in his mind said, I will love. And the moment he committed to loving his people, that was unchangeable, indestructible. Whatever you do, whatever you say, however you are, whatever goes on, he committed himself to love. His love is indestructible because he committed in covenant to do so. And it is also boundless. It knows no limits, for it never ends. There is no end to God's love. It goes on and on and on and on. And if I were to preach a sermon on God's love, I should do the same. But I'm not going to. From the beginning of creation to the climax of redemption, from the first making of the heavens to the final inheritance of the saints, all is to be seen against the backdrop of the love of God. If everything in life is seen in light of love, then it would enliven our praise. This is a psalm about praise. And if we see everything in the backdrop, in the background, as God's amazing love, an indestructible, never-ending, boundless love, then it will call forth praise from us. This is no shallow love. I've got that loving feeling. This is no loving feeling. It is a love that takes us to the very edge, with no visible means of escape, and yet makes a way through, that parts the Red Sea. Just imagine how the Israelites felt when they were backed up against the sea, when the people, the Egyptians were coming in with vast army, an army that's hardly ever been destroyed, and yet they come and these people have escaped, and they thought they'd got away with it, and they were there, and they were backed up, their backs against the wall, and then God intervenes in his love and he parts the Red Sea. How amazing is God's love? It is a love that takes you into the desert. And yet it's a love that brings you out the other side into a land flowing with milk and honey. We love to enter into the land flowing with milk and honey, and we think that we've got God's love and blessing and prosperity on us, because we are in the land that is flowing with milk and honey. Yet, let me tell you, it is the same love that takes you into the desert in the first place, that leads you into the moments of difficulty and yet brings you through. It is a love that doesn't always expect everything to be wonderful, but remembers you in your low estate. It is a real love that accepts that we are so easily enslaved by evil, and so comes to free us from our enemies. How amazing is that love? This psalm doesn't hide the difficulties and darkness of life. It shines the love, the light of the love of God, into every hidden recess, calling forth praise. This is a psalm that reminds us that through the deepest and darkest days of our lives, God's love is there present with us. It reminds us that on the heights, God's love is there. In the depths, God's love is there. When we're happy, God's love is there. When we're sad, God's love is there. Everywhere is God's love. And it is God's love that calls forth us praise. That's why when we're in the depths of despair, we can praise God. When we're on the heights of happiness, we can praise God. It's not because we feel like it. We don't have that loving feeling. We may not have that. And yet we come committed, as God is committed to his love, to reflect that commitment of God's love, that covenant love, by coming together as the people of God and loving God just because. We love just because. We praise just because. But it's not just because. We praise because of God's amazing greatness. He's a great God. He's greater than all the other gods. All the other things that we bring into our lives that we think, oh, this is great. I love this. Oh, I love that television program. Oh, I love my computer. We have all sorts of other loves. But the love of God is the greatest of all loves. And so we praise God because of his greatness. And we praise God because of his salvation. His amazing grace. We've heard about it already. God loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us, to take us out of slavery and bring us into newness of life, to bring us into the promised land. You may be living in darkest despair, and yet you still live in the promised land. You live in the fullness of what God has done for you on the cross, both now and not yet. I today am standing here telling you of the wonders of God, and yet, you know what? I'm also seated in heavenly places. I am here and I'm not here. Some people see that all the time. God's love calls forth praise in every situation and every circumstance. Or it should. This pilgrimage of praise on which we've been journeying does not simply take us by still waters. It also takes us through some shadowy valleys that have the appearance of death to us. And yet God's love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on us. God's love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on us. God's love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on us. God's love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on us. You've heard the song. You may have heard the song. And I often sing that song and I think, why do they keep on singing that? It gets boring and repetitive. And yet, I guess the readers of this psalm had the same feeling when it said his love endures forever. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, God's love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on us. You know, God's love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on us. God's love never fails. Never gives up. It never runs out on us. Whatever you're going through, whatever you face this week, God's love is there with you. You may be going through the deepest and difficultest week of your life. You may be going through radiotherapy this week. You may be struggling to get up in the morning because of that. But you know what? God's love never fails. It never gives up and it's never going to run out on you. You may be up in London celebrating your birthday. But God's love never fails. It never gives up and it's never going to run out on you. I don't know all that you're going to be in this week. You may be going to your mum's funeral. But let me tell you this. God's love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on you. Amen. I don't know what you're going through this week, but I do know one thing, that God's love will not fail, it will not give up, and it will not run out. It is sufficient for you. And therefore, as we come back next week, we come back full of praise for God because he's worth it. We come back full of praise next week because great, he's marvelous, he's better than anything else that you've experienced in the week. And we come back to praise God because of what he's done in rescuing us, in showering upon us grace after grace after grace. This is our experience. This is why we ascend in praise to our God who is greater than anything else. Praise the Lord, all ye people. Praise the Lord.